Good morning. It's a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, let's start with more purging. More top Homeland Security officials, that is, set to leave the Trump administration. The president's move to sweep the department's top ranks a day after pushing out his secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen, announces the departure of the director of Secret Services, and several more high-ranking officials are expected to leave.
You're fired. You know, this guy lives in a world of television where he just fired with impunity. There was a game to it. I never saw it, I'll be honest with you. But the game was that nobody knew when they were going to get fired. Keep everybody dancing on one toe. The thing that is so strange about this president, of course, is that he has been praising the Secret Service over and over and over again, how wonderful they are, and then he fires them, which means that anybody who works for this president knows that they are there only at his momentary sufferance. Now, what's scary about this is that it brings no honor to his name. It brings no gravitas. It brings no sense that this is a guy who knows what he's doing. On the contrary, it is exactly the opposite. It means chaos, and he won't show his tax returns. He won't show the report, the Mueller report. He has a guy in there who knows that with his penchant for firing, he's next. He got the job because he basically auditioned for it. This is Barr now. He got it because he sent a letter saying this whole thing basically was not well conceived and maybe even a witch hunt. I don't know if he used those words, but that's what he meant. And Trump hired him on. But we know now that Trump can easily just wake up one morning and say, you're fired. And of course, he has people like Stephen Miller and others lurking in the background, in the shadows, giving him advice that he follows impetuously. So it is very strange, very sad, and most of all, very scary for the people of this country.
You mentioned the push for the president's tax returns. It's a dual push because it's going on in New York as well. And Governor Andrew Cuomo, who you will talk to later this morning, has now joined that push and is supporting the state trying to get the president's returns.
Well, there is a question of whether or not they can get it done. I certainly think it's well worth pursuing. I think the more people understand that this guy is not going to comply with at least the norms, but in the case of New York, it may well be a matter of the law. In any of these cases, this is all going to go to the Supreme Court, and we pretty well know what we can expect up there. You know, in the case of Richard Nixon, there were the tapes, and the tapes were the smoking gun, and it was too much for the court. They just had to go along with bringing him in and saying, you know, this is a matter of the history, the honor of the United States, and the court ruled. But in this case, with people like Clarence Thomas and others on that court, I doubt very much that we are going to see an anti-Trump ruling. If it gets there. In any case, I think the state of New York is correct. They have their powers. They are invoking them. But whether or not they have the horses to make this happen, I just don't know. I suspect that this guy Trump has something that he really wants to keep hidden. And we know that from all of the nonsense. He says he'll give it, but then he won't give it. His guy Mnuchin says he'll never see it. That's quite something.
Alan, a federal judge has issued a preliminary injunction to stop the Trump administration's policy of having some asylum seekers wait in Mexico while their case is under consideration. This border situation has blown up.
Well, yeah, the judge is right, of course. You know, the law is the law, but this guy doesn't respect the law. And here's a federal judge who comes along and says, no, you can't do that. You can't make them wait in Mexico. We have a procedure. You come to the states, you make an application. So yesterday there was a lot of flurry during the panel in which there was a discussion as to whether or not he really believes this or whether this is just a ploy to keep the base in line. Many people believe that in his mind he thinks that this is right, that without being able to put a stop to this, this country is in grave danger. That's in his mind. I happen to be one who think he doesn't have any such ideas, that his main thing to do is get reelected, and he gets reelected by blowing up the Mexican thing as much as he possibly can. Hey, if you fire your Secret Service chief after you say that he's wonderful and that the Secret Service is doing a great job, you're certainly capable of doing anything that your mind wants you to at a given moment. That's what he's doing.
Well, speaking of getting reelected, how about Election Day in Israel today, Alan? Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged to annex Jewish settlements in the West Bank if reelected.
Well, there is certainly a little parallelism between Trump and Netanyahu. They both get out there. They both have their bases. We do know from NPR reporting and others that the Israeli electorate is moving right. that there are a lot of little parties in Israel, and if you put them together, they coalesce and they make Netanyahu's reelection more likely. I think that's correct. And he has a fierce opponent who is a military man himself, who is certainly no left-winger, but is much more in the middle. And I think it portends that Netanyahu may squeak through one more time, but we'll have to see what the results say.
Well, here's a shake your head line. As White House plans to challenge findings on climate change, the U.S. military plans for its destabilizing impact.
Well, that's right. It's so interesting the way in which the president says one thing and his sub-bureaucracy, his bureaucracy, says another. On the other hand, he is the president. He has tremendous powers. He's supposed to be a leader. We do know that this world faces this incredible crisis. He is looking the other way and, in fact, saying it's all a bunch of nonsense. He's said that in the past, and he is what we call a climate denier. When history is written, it's going to come down to that. When we should have been paying attention, we weren't. And when we should have been making things better by doing a Green New Deal or any part of it in order to make changes that will allow humanity to survive, we didn't do it. That's on him.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.